I remember the Lord saying to me at one point, everything that is natural and visible, touchable, feelable, was constructed by the invisible. I mean, when you boil that one down and you say, okay, this structure. See, we're accustomed to nuts and bolts and beams and wood and metal and flesh and blood. And it was all constructed by the invisible. And it took them 4,000 years to take on flesh. How about that one, huh? He wasn't in a hurry. Okay, bow our heads. Father, without you, I can do nothing. So I'm asking you this morning to bring forth what you have laid on my heart, to bring life into those that are here and those that will be listening to this message over the internet. I ask this in our Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm back in Acts chapter 2 because it seems that Friday was a time to recognize Acts chapter 2 and the fire of God. But I wanted to kind of press in because God was pushing some buttons this morning. And I just want to kind of stretch out a couple of verses that may help you. Verse 23 is kind of a neat piece of information that sometimes we don't comprehend. The intensity of Peter's message. Peter's message starts at verse 14 and he's talking about the last days. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men dream dreams. But that doesn't mean old in the natural or young in the natural. It means young and old in the spirit. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. It doesn't say they might. It says they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and the signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. Are they natural? No. They're spiritual. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not might. Will be. This Jesus of Nazareth was a man. Well, I skipped a little bit there. Men of Israel, verse 22. Listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man, accredited by God, not accredited by man. He didn't go to their schools. He didn't get their education. In fact, they couldn't stand him because of it. Some people won't appreciate who you are because you didn't go to their school. Denominationalism causes some of that. Okay? And the Holy Ghost is a lot higher in talents and in teaching ability. In fact, the scripture says the Holy Ghost will remind you of all things that are written in the Word, but also declared by Jesus. Amen? So, Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God. So who do you need to be accredited by? God. Everybody's getting a graduation degree. Right now, it's the season for graduation. And by the way, release a mighty blessing on Joshua. Amen? Because he graduated on Friday. And also on two young ladies that Gail teaches. Amen? And a young man. Graduations everywhere. Good news. Now, is it wrong to be graduating from the natural? Absolutely not. God calls you to be taught by others. That's God. But who's the one that's going to accredit you? God. So, God will accredit what you need. And he brought forth miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Verse 23 is very important. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose. Jesus was set up by God. He was released into the Roman and into the Jewish hierarchy to be released. Why? Because God had a purpose. And the foreknowledge. When you see this and you take that on to yourself, you begin to see that God has a plan for you. How many have had a little bit of persecution this past week? A little bit. Push your hand way up. Thank you. You are being set up by whom? Wow. Oh, well, we had one person that said God. Let's try this again. Who's setting you up? God is setting you up. Why is it tough? Because God has a plan. Is it fun? No! Is he going to let you through it? Yes! Is he going to lift you up in the process? Yes! Is he going to be with you as you go forward? Yes! The purpose is to put the fire of God in you. And then to burn the chaff, because you can't have anything burn unless you see it. And you give him permission. Yes or no? If you saw your mouth going off in the wrong direction this week, now you have an opportunity by faith to release that piece of what? To him, and let him consume it. Let him burn it up. Amen? Again, 23, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead. So, who's going to raise you from the dead? Yes! It's not different for us than it was for him. He's the first of many brothers. Romans 8. He's also the first fruit that raised up out of the grave. And then, on the day of Pentecost, how many did he take out of the natural and fill them with the same Holy Ghost he had? 120. They are also first fruits. They are first fruits of people that were ordinary and made them extraordinary. So kind of nudge your neighbor, say you're extraordinary. Because of the Holy Ghost. Right. None of this natural stuff. We're going to Holy Ghost stuff. Amen? God raised him from the dead, freeing him from agony and of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Oh! Now, why was it impossible? Because the Holy Ghost was in him. Do you have the Holy Ghost in you? And what do you think death's going to try to do to you? Grab you, yes. And is it going to try to hold on to you? But is it possible for him to hold on forever? No! Impossible. Why? Because you have the same Holy Ghost inside of you that was in Christ Jesus. That's why a believer who goes into the grave, only their flesh goes into the grave, not their spirit. And you can't visit a graveyard and find one saint present. Why? Because they're not there. Okay? They're with him. And they're waiting to return. Verse 25. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken, therefore my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body also will live in hope. Body. Those of you who have problems with the body, how many have had a few problems with the body this week? Thank you. I got my hand up too because we had a few little difficulties this week. But God is lifting up. Okay? Because you will not abandon me to the grave, Nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Which Holy One? Yes, us. See, religion will always focus you on Jesus. My job is to get you to focus on you. And Christ Jesus is inside of you. He's not on the outside. He's on the inside. And He's available to you 24/7. He even makes house calls. And no charge. Price has already been paid. 28. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. You will fill me. He doesn't say I might. He says I will fill you with joy in my presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, how many of you have had visions? Seeing what was ahead, okay? He spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promise, Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Now, I want to digress a little bit. The Lord opened up a door in January. And it was a sovereign door. It wasn't something that prepared by men. It was something that was prepared by God. And last night I had a telephone call to remind me of that calling. And what God had called, he also brought fruit. So when God does something, the fruit is going to be awesome. And it's going to be lasting. There are blossoms on the tree, right? Blossoms in that vision of the Dead Sea area, which is not normal, because then nothing grows there. God set me up. God set me up. And because of some visions in January, by the middle of spring, he sent me to Canada twice, actually three times. And within a matter of months, brought several people into my life. And by about this time, I had ministered up in Granby, where Ron and Evelyn live. I did not meet Ron at that time, but I did meet their friend. And because there was a press in their heart, there was a place that was rented for a Saturday night service. I went there with my brother, his wife Nicole, my mom, and I don't remember if there was another person there, but at least I believe it was my brother, my wife, myself, his wife, and mom. And they had rented a, I believe it was a Knights of Columbus Hall. It was about maybe twice the size of this one. A little bar room in the corner. And the Lord had told us to have a service that night, and we did. And the Holy Spirit came down. And it was a young man in a wheelchair. He was, at that time, approximately 22 or 23 years old. And he was sitting to my right, and I remember it like if it was yesterday. The Lord gave him an intense word, and there was a prophetic
anointing on that time slot. And God's Holy Spirit took this young man, who was, by the way, I did not know at that time, was totally drunk on alcohol and drugs. Some of the drugs were legal, some of them weren't. And he had been addicted for quite a long time because of a car accident that had placed him into a complete paraplegic, unable to walk, unable to stand. But God's Holy Spirit had a plan for him. And he called me last night. Called me out of the blue. And he said, do you have any idea what kind of man I was? I said, no. I did not have no clue. I had no idea even why. He said, do you realize the guys who brought me there were drunk too? I said, no. Didn't realize. Why? Because God had a setup for him. Okay? God had a setup for him. Why? Because God wanted to save this young man. He was actually in the process of a divorce. And I had no knowledge. But God had a knowledge of him. And through the word of knowledge that came from the Holy Ghost inside of me, that man is now alive, remarried, and just was celebrating last night because his sister-in-law has just come to the Lord. And he said, do you have any idea how many families have come to Christ because of what God has done inside of me? I said, no. I don't have any idea. And it's not important. He says, Tim, God has a crown for you. Because of what God has done through me. It all goes back to what he did through you. Close your eyes. Don't look at me. I don't want you to look at me. Say, Lord Jesus. It's the same Holy Ghost who's inside of me. And he's going to profess life. New life. Into many people. Some in wheelchairs. Some in sick beds. Some in school. Could be some in prison. Could be some on the job. Some in church. Wherever. However. Because of what I give, they will come to life. And I will get a crown for God's glory. See, that's why I'm sharing this. Because it's not about me. It's about what he does through me. And what he does through you. You say, oh my God, I'm so tired. Anybody relate? Yes, you will get tired. Yes, you will. It's not important how tired you get. It's what you confess out of your mouth when you get done. No, 2004. This young man, the same young man, his name is John Mark. John Mark was sent to a hospital in Montreal because he works part-time, even in his wheelchair. He has a car that you can drive in. He has an elevator that you can actually go down and get into the car. I mean, he is self-sufficient in this wheelchair. And he works as a dispatcher for a trucking company. Well, he had been working for so long, and when you're always sitting, this whole area here started to break. So a specialist in Montreal said, I want to re-put a rod inside there, because if we don't do something, your bones are going to just literally crush, and then you won't even be able to be in a wheelchair. He said, well, I would not want to be in a bed. I've already been in a bed, and I know what it's like. He was in a bed that you twist back and forth, like a pancake thing. I'm glad you know the name, but I don't. It just flips over, like, you know. Anyway, he was in the hospital. December, he called me to tell me that we needed to pray. We prayed, and we agreed that God would do something, and he did. The only thing is, instead of having a healing process of 6 months or 4 months or whatever the numbers were, it lasted and lasted, and it was just It was very difficult. A lot of persecution. But he got to minister to many people. By the end of the late spring, early summer, about this time, the Lord said to me, I want you to go up there, because he was now transferred from Montreal to a Granby hospital. And the Lord said to make sure that I went up there and dropped off Mom in Quaticook, and then drove over and went to the hospital and visited with him. And he reminded me of that last night. He says, you know, he says, I've never said what happened to me when you came. He said, I always had a very low self-esteem of who I was. I had no value in myself because I always pictured myself as a teenager full of strength and life and vigor and the wrong kind of lifestyle. He says, I did everything that you could possibly conceive. From every immoral act and thought I did, every type of drug and booze I did, but says, you know what? I never believed anybody would love me. But he said, after you came, God changed something inside of me. And hope came back to life in him. He had to die to who he thought he was in order to come back to life to what he could potentially become. And several years later, I think it's two years after that, he got married. And this past month there, his sister-in-law, and there's a lot I could tell you in between. Sister-in-law accepted the Lord only because of obedience on every level. Not giving up on the surgery, not giving up on the surgery, not giving up on the hospital stay, not giving up on the reality of all the rebuilding of his body and, you know, his upper body strength after all that surgery. He was just back to square one. Got back on the job, and he's back doing what God told him to do. Why am I telling you this? Because some of you are in the circumstances that this young man was in. You're looking at yourself from the natural. And it's time that you see the Spirit of God in you, fully alive, fully capable of taking you higher, fully capable of doing such a mighty work that he will get the glory. 36, verse 36. Acts 2:36. Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say might, it says will. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Whom the Lord our God will call. So those of you who are here, you've already been called. But there are some that you will connect with in the days ahead, and they will also be called. And you'll know it in your heart. How many know sometimes there's a press to push and to talk to the Lord, and then to talk to a person about the Lord. And other times, you have nothing to say. Why? Because God knows which ones are His. And God knows where they're going to be fed. And it could be your word that will change them. Just like this young man was saying last night, only God could have chosen to bring me there, so out of it, and yet pick me up and change me and change my whole family. Because now his whole family is serving the Lord. Why? He says, if it wouldn't have been for that accident, if it wouldn't have been for the time in the hospital, if it wouldn't have been for the wheelchair, if it wouldn't have been for the drugs, if it wouldn't have been for the booze, I wouldn't have been there. I'm going to hit you hard. But I remember the day that God told me that I better thank the Lord for the booze in my father's life. My father was a full-time alcoholic. My son's here to verify that. He drove around with a case of booze in the trunk. And God says, you better thank the Lord. Okay, try chewing on that one when you're looking at all your reasonings behind your head. Thank the Lord for your alcoholic father. Thank the Lord for the booze that he's taking every day. Thank the Lord. Doesn't make a darn bit of sense. And at that time, I would have said, damn bit of sense. God, you're not making any sense. He says, Kim, if I hadn't drugged him, he would have killed himself. I kept him alive so he could be born again when you would intercede for him. And I used booze to do it. Close your eyes. Did he use a cross to kill the firstborn son in order to bring you to life? There goes your wonderful reasoning. Let go of your head games and believe what God has done in his son and what he's doing in his son inside of you. It's not a different Holy Ghost. It's the same Holy Ghost. And he loves you. He loves you as you are. He loves you in spite of your weaknesses, in spite of the sin that you have in you. He loves you. That's the bottom line. And all this legal stuff that says you should hate the person who's drugged. You shouldn't hate them. You should love them. God could be drugging them until they come to Christ. Look at the word. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. You know, I was so accustomed to using my brain. And my brain was literally killing me. All my justification for their behavior. And why is it this? And why is it that? And that day, some of that died. Thank God. And God willing, some of your reasoning will die today. And you'll begin to believe that God has a plan. And whatever he has to use to keep somebody alive, let it be God's plan, not yours. Let God use whatever weakness they have in order to get them to Christ. Whatever the price. Doesn't matter. The end result is salvation. The end result is my father got delivered. And the end result is he got born again and spirit-filled. Why? Because God had a plan. Not yours, not mine. And I know I'm preaching right now. I'm even preaching to myself. Yes. But you know what? It feels good to see people come to life when they're hurting and when they're half dead. And some of them, like this young man, he says, I was dead. But I came to life that night. Put your Bibles down. I want you to stand. I want you to declare with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I was set up by God. And your plan is unfolding. And I'm going to declare tonight. I will be obedient. When you give me visions. When you give me dreams. Words of knowledge. Prepare me for tomorrow. I want to give words of life. Wherever I am, and whomever I meet, let the Holy Ghost have his way with me. I was set up. It's God's purpose that is at stake. And his salvation is going to go out. Starting inside of me and being manifest in those that you choose for me to minister to. Amen? And amen. May his anointing be upon you as you go forth. May his words be bubbling out of you as you go forth in this day. And let it continue every single day for the glory of our God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Share some hugs with each other.